chapter 2. And that may not surprise you coming up close to Christmas, but we're going to preach from there with the Lord's help. And while you're turning to Luke chapter 2, I'm going to make a few announcements. Monthly prayer meeting is this coming up Saturday, next Saturday at 8:30. And we will still be having that, so please be a part of that if you can. And also after the service today, and of course we're not having next Wednesday, we're having this coming up Wednesday service, but the Wednesday Christmas Eve we will not be having service. But also after service today, if you are interested in Christmas caroling, see Sister Missy back of the church or back here in the little walkway, and she's going to discuss the time and what their plans are about doing that. That's Christmas caroling, so keep that in mind, and please be a part of that if you can. Luke chapter 2, and if you're there, just give me a good amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, and we're going to read these two verses, and we're going to hang our hat there, and we're going to preach if God will help us. Luke 2 and 10 says this, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Amen. Isn't that good? Good reading, good scriptures. Going to read it again. I want you to get, you know, sometimes around Christmas we get used to these verses. Let's read it again. And you can read along if you like. Luke 2 and 10. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning just for a few minutes, and I feel I'll be preaching a few different Christmas messages. I've got so many I'd like to preach to you, but you only get to really, you kind of feel bad about preaching them out of, you know, something about Christmas time. You kind of cram them in there for some reason. You can preach them anytime. They're still relevant, but we're going to try to preach some to you about these Christmas messages, some different texts. But I want to preach to you today on how to make sure your Christmas is special. How to make sure that your Christmas is special. We know today, when we begin to talk about Christmas, especially when we're here in the middle of December, we have to make sure that we do not lose focus, and we have to make sure that we are capturing the joy in this very, very crowded season. You would know as well as I do, newsstands nowadays, you see holiday magazines telling you what to cook, and different decorations to put on your tables, and different home decor. You can even, if you turn on your TV, you'll see different commercial Christmas programs, advertisement, what's the best thing to get, what's new, what is in style. You can even look, and many of you right now may be becoming very familiar with this word, a list. Amen. You got a Christmas list. You've got a grocery list. You've got a Christmas card list. You've got all these different lists that we begin to tally and keep things down. And then on top of that, you've got a gift list. Amen. I added up the other day. I've got 13 people to buy for other than my wife. I'm drawing names next year. Amen. I'm drawing names. It's just the way this family's done got too big. So, you know, people get married, children are born, all these different things. And then you got Christmas cards. And then on top of that, that's just things that really don't matter to me as much. But on top of that, we are often overwhelmed with other things such as tension. Maybe there's some painful relationships some people are faced with. Discord in different families, daughters and sons that are lost. Separation between family members, fear of some people about their finances, loss of job, different things. And then you've got health issues that are completely overwhelming different ones. And then you've got memories of past Christmases when you spent a Christmas with this person that's not here anymore. So there's a whole list of things that come with the Christmas season, and it becomes a very crowded season, not only with your time, but also with your mind, also with your memory, and also with all of your effort. But when I come to these verses today, I want to talk to us about what it is, how to keep Christmas special, and how to keep it fresh in your heart. Before we get into the deeper aspect of this message, I want you to engrave this in your heart. I want you to fly this like a banner over the very top of your spiritual mind. Can you get these two phrases, good news and great joy? Can we say that together? Good news, great joy. One more time. Good news, great joy. I want that to be the banner that you fly over your heart here for the next few moments. Good news and great joy. If you have to repeat it 100 times throughout between here and Christmas, I want you to understand today that Christmas is still a time of good news and it's still a time of great joy. I don't know about you. Here in a few weeks, I'll be traveling and we've got to go here and there to see different loved ones. Is anybody going to be around any lost loved ones? Man, everybody else's family saved. My God. Wow, I've got it easy as a preacher. Amen. All right. Yes, that means I'm going to be around lost brothers, lost siblings, lost relatives. All of us here today, if you're honest, you've got a lost cousin or something. If you want to participate or not in raising your hand, you've got somebody in your life that you're going to be around that is lost, and that is the time in our lives that we can influence them. 3 ideas that I'm going to give you this morning on how to keep Christmas special. And when you're around, even with your children, I want you to understand this, even with your children, you need to learn to keep the Christmas message special, even to them. Don't expect them just to discover it like a lost piece of candy somewhere. If mama and daddy, you've got to influence them. Grandparents, you must influence them. And if you don't do it, who is? We've got to make sure we are influencing them. Many times today, friend, I want to talk to you about 3 different ideas. This is the first idea. Keep this in your mind. I want you to proclaim good tidings or good news to everybody that you come in contact with. Try to show your family. Try to show your lost loved ones. Try to show your children that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still good news. It is still good news. Many times when we come to church, we are often bombarded with the idea of doctrine. We are often bombarded with the idea of theology, obedience, church, and we forget sometimes that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. There is a news factor about the Lord Jesus Christ that nobody in this room, you should never let that alert lose. You should never let that news lose its alertness in your heart. You need to make sure today you are flying the banner of good news. And let me ask you this question today. What do you think of when you think of news? In America, what do you think of? You think of, you know, instantly Fox News, Wavy TV 10, News Channel 3, Channel 13. You can think of CNN. I don't know what your preference is. And really, I think all of them tell lies half the time, to be honest with you. You don't know what's true and what's going on where. And half the time, there's more lies that go across the television set. In 1 year, the kids are exposed to the most old-time has heard in probably 50 years. It's constant overflow and influx of negativity and bad news. But when we think of news, you turn on your TV or radio or you pick up the newspaper and you're looking for information about what's going on around you. My cell phone is connected to a news app. And every now and then it goes off and it says, alert, news. And all of a sudden it'll say something like this, that all of a sudden the government just passed $1.1 trillion and said bad news. I don't know about you. That's a lot of money. I don't know much about it. I know you got to have it to live, but it's more than you can count. It's too much to even think about. But hear me today, friend. We live in a society that always has an influx of bad news. Maybe you don't hear as much as I do. Probably half the phone calls I get is bad news. Half the time, every time, if you look at the weather or you look at the news at all, it's either a murder or a rape or death or war. You know, you hear about ISIS, you hear about national debt, you hear about scandals, you hear about the homosexual agenda. And my Lord, I mean, bad news. Every time you turn a program, it's bad news. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can go to the restaurant. They may be sitting at the table beside you and you're hearing bad news. You could go down the street there and somebody's got some bad news about something. But I don't know about you. I like good news. Oh my, help me preach. I like good news. I love good news. I like when somebody calls me and they say, Brother Derek, you'll never believe what happened. This happened or this happened or so-and-so did this. I mean, good news. What would be very positive and good for somebody? What if all of a sudden it came across the news screen, the stock market just went up 500 points? Everybody, if you got stock, that'd be good. I could care less. But I knew it'd do our nation good. Don't have a bit of stock nowhere. My dad lost enough money in that. He told me, son, don't waste your time. This world's going down anyhow. Amen. But I mean, that'd be good news for some if you got money in the stock market. That'd be something you'd say, "Woo, that's great, that's good to hear." And then what about some? What if all of a sudden, I know this is far-fetched and in between, but what if all of a sudden somebody says there's perfect peace in the Middle East? Well, first of all, I think we missed something. Amen. I pray on getting out of here. And I don't know about you, but you know, wouldn't that be good news though? Not to turn on the news or not to turn on the radio, not to hear about another terrorist attack, not to hear about Al-Qaeda, not to hear about ISIS, not to hear about none of those things. I'm talking about good, good news. What about all of a sudden, across the news article came, we found a cure for cancer? Think about that. Now, really, I want you to be with me this morning. Get your mind where I'm at. What if it came to you, the news came to you, and said, "Look, there is a cure for cancer. It is cheap and it is affordable. It is enough supply that everybody can get resources from it, and nobody will ever have to die again or suffer from any form of cancer." Is that not good news? I'd walk out my house, I'd see my neighbor. Can you believe it? They finally found a way to do this. They finally found a way to cure this. They finally found... What would be your reaction when you heard that good news? What would be your action? What would happen inside of you? But notice here today what this angel said unto these shepherds. He said, "No, just notice here. I bring you glad tidings." Well, that word tidings there means news. He pretty much said, "I bring you good news." Hear me today. These angels came with a proclamation that I have good news to bring to you. And let me tell you, it was greater than the stock market going up. Amen. You know, it makes you wonder at times because I said something about the stock market, got some smiles, and say something about Jesus. Sometimes it's not quite as exuberant. It's greater than the stock market. It's greater than 401ks. It's greater than job promotions. It's greater than all this. It's greater than peace in the Middle East. It's greater than a cure for cancer. Notice this angel says, he says, "I bring you the good news." Hear me today, friend. What I am afraid of that has taken place in our churches, you can agree or disagree. It's up to you. Preach it the way you like to. They do not ever let the gospel lose its news factor. Do not ever let it lose the news, lose that excitement that this is good news. This is a proclamation that something good has happened. It is the best news that humanity has ever heard. It wasn't on a TV channel. It didn't come through the radio, but it came as a proclamation from heaven that there was good news. A Savior was born into this world that was going to redeem us, that was going to set us free. That is good, good news. Hallelujah. Now listen today, friend. We must understand this. You ever seen a newsboy, you know, a newspaper guy? I've never really seen one in person. But you know how they portray him, you know, "Extra, extra, read all about it." You ever heard of that? All right, I'll get worried. "Extra, extra, read all about it. Something new is going on." I went into Costco the other day and there was a woman there who was advertising Duracell batteries. And boy, she was saying, "Gotta have batteries, don't you? You've gotta have batteries for them toys for your children. You've gotta have batteries for when your neighbors come over. You better have batteries when your family comes over. Batteries, batteries, batteries. Duracell's the best battery. It lasts longer than all the other ones." She was trying to say, "I've got some information you would like to know. I've got a product that you want." Here in this Bible story, it's a true account. When the angel said, "I bring you good news," he was letting us know it is here. There is good news for all of us to understand. There is a Savior that is born. Amen. Now listen. Sometimes, as I've already mentioned, if we're not careful in theology and doctrine, we'll lose the news factor. We'll lose our edge of wanting to tell somebody else. Hey, it's amazing if somebody finds a pill, a weight loss pill, and they lose 10 pounds. I've had them come to me before and say, "You need to sign up. This pill will do it for you." You know, instead of pushing back the plate a little bit, take the pill and it'll just eat the carbs up itself. Somebody thinks that's good news. You can eat all the carbs you want, then the pill eats the carbs out of, inside of you. Somebody will think that's great news. 10 pounds and you ain't going to do it. It just eats it up. And then they try to, next you know, they got a salesman, don't they? You ever heard of them pyramid ordeals? Where somebody call you and say, "If you pay $300, you can get invested in this," and the guy at the top's making all the money, and us at the bottom, you know, you would finally lose all your money. It's a pyramid scheme. What I'm trying to tell you is this. When this world believes in something, it begins to spread the news about that product, about that resource. Hear me today. When it says, I bring you good news, it is from a verb word in the Bible. It is a verb word in the Greek. This is evangelizo or something like, I can't quite pronounce it, which we get the transliterated, the English word evangelize, which simply means to tell people the good news. By the way, when you study the book of Luke, Luke uses the verb often to proclaim the good news, to preach the good news, to bring the good news. He uses it in chapters 1, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 16, and chapter 20. Luke uses that word a lot because it's tied to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, you need to go tell others about this good news. If you look in your Bibles, you got your four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It'll say the gospel according to Matthew. The good news is what it's really saying. Luke, the gospel, the good news. Mark, the gospel, the good news. John, the gospel, the good news. It is all over the place of the message of Christianity because it is good news. We have a saving God. It is good news. He sent a Savior. It is good news. There is one who come to take away sin. It is good news that your sin will be forgiven forever when you live in Christ. That is good news. And this is such good news. It ought to produce something inside of you called great joy. I'm still Pentecostal. Amen. I told you Sunday night I should have ran the church out. I might do it this morning. If God's in it, it causes me to be excited. It causes me to be happy. It causes me to want to worship. It causes me to want to come to church. It causes me to want to sing. It is good, good news. Notice here today, friend, what is the good news? Notice it says here that the good news is that the Savior is here. Luke recounts Jesus saying that He was compelled by the Spirit of the Lord. Even when you find this in Luke chapter 4, Jesus says this, the Spirit of the Lord upon me to preach the gospel unto the poor. To preach the good news. Then you'll find Paul. He takes it even further about the content of that. He said he preached that same word good news, that same word evangelized, that the message was Christ died for sins, was buried, and He rose again the third day. This is good, good news, and it ought to produce joy inside of you. And if not, you've gotten accommodated to our Savior. Amen. Now think about this. This is my challenge to you because how do you keep Christmas special? You've got to make sure you keep it fresh in the heart of your own self that this is good news. And then you relay that to your children that this is good news. And you say, well, how do you do that, Brother Derek? How do you explain to kids or grandkids what good news is? You explain to them that we all were lost at one point. You explain to them children or them grandchildren or those that are lost that you were without a Savior and there was nothing good within yourself. There was nothing that you could do. You explain that to them and then you tell them that a message came from an angel that a Savior was in this world and that is good news. Even children can tell the difference between bad and good news. You ever heard of, you know, childlike faith? You tell a child good news, you're getting a toy for Christmas. Woo! Tell the Christian, his Savior's come. Woo! Amen. It does it in me. I know it may not always be on the outside, but I feel it in me. That my Savior's here. That is the first thing you can do. You have to make sure, in order to keep your Christmas special, you've got to proclaim the good news. You've got to keep that news factor about the gospel. Second thing you can do is this. You've got to proclaim the great joy. Be sure to stress the joy of the good news. Carve out times of activity or ideas, whatever it is, that keeps that joy cultivated in your life. Good news always produces great joy. I mean, you get good news. I mean, let's just bring it down to where we're at. Somebody knocks on your door and says, you just won $1 million. You didn't even do it. Somebody wanted to give you $1 million. Is that good news to you? Man, I'd love that. I mean, we could build churches. We could work. We could do more for the Lord. We could pay cars off. Come on, think about that. No car payment, just no payments, no nothing. You'd just be complete. No debt, no nothing. All of a sudden, that's good news. It would cause you to be excited. Now, hear me today, friend. Good news should activate great joy. Not just joy, but great joy. Amen. Now, listen, not just joy, but great joy. Not just a little, thank you, Lord, but great joy. It's something that is magnified. It's something that is great. It's something that is massive. It is something that is large. And hear me today, friend. That is what this world is looking for. They're not looking for glimpses and touches. But I'm telling you, there's people out on the streets. What they're really looking for, they're looking for great joy. What they're really looking for, they're looking for fulfillment. And they need real, lasting, sustaining joy that only comes from peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What do you think the heroin addict puts a needle in his vein? He's looking for joy. Why do you think the alcoholic takes a sip of liquor and has to drink himself to sleep? You know what they're looking for? Joy. Why do you think this person goes here? Why do you think you have some women that go from man to man, one after another? You know what it is? They're looking for companionship. They're looking for joy. They're looking for something to help them cope with things in life. Why does men do the same things? It's because they haven't met the Savior. It's because they hadn't accepted the good news. But the good news won't just give you a flare-up. The good news won't just give you a temporal fix. The good news is better than heroin. It's better than drugs. It's better than alcohol. It's better than running around your wife. Good news brings great joy that lasts and sustains you through all the ages. I ain't out of words. I'm trying to find where we're at. Great joy. Great joy. Good news. Great joy. It's amazing, you know. Football season. I've done hit it about 50 times this football season. People out there and they're screaming till they lose their very voice. I remember we had a high school team near us, very good football team. You'd go out there and some of them grandparents, my word, you thought their grandchildren were the next Messiah. I remember one guy had an air horn so big, he actually took a whole entire one of them air compressors. Put an air horn on it, ran a cord up to the top of the stand, and had a thing. He'd open that thing and go, whomp, and shut it off. Most people don't want saved. I always thought the rapture was taking place. I didn't know what was going on. But all that, he was excited because little Johnny kicked the field goal and got a point for a double-A school. Big whoop! Look, it's all right to tell Johnny, good job. I hope Johnny's staying out of trouble. But that's not the source of my joy. Amen. Look, I partially like the Redskins. I don't know too much about them, and they changed so much over the years. They ain't had a winning record probably since 1980, but I care less. You know why? Because it's not the source of my joy. I can look at what I'm trying to say to you today. There is good news. His name is Jesus. It should activate something in your heart. It should make you want to worship Him. It should make you want to read your Bible. It should make you want to pray. There's good news. Jesus has come. There should be great joy inside of you. Oh, God. Great joy. We look at this and we read in the Bible and you've got to take into consideration who this message came to. It wasn't to the upper echelon. It wasn't to the rich. It wasn't to the Pharisee. It wasn't to King Herod. But out here on the hillside, it's some dirty old shepherds that's just doing their job every day. They're sitting out there. They're being faithful. And when you study the history there and the culture of that day, being a shepherd was a very low thing to do. One of the reasons it was a lonely position is because they didn't go to the temple on the Sabbath because they had to stay with their sheep and they thought they were some of the worst creatures, these shepherds there. But hear me today, friend. When this message came, I want to tell you the Holy Ghost sent that angel right past Herod's palace. He sent it right past the temple. He sent it right past the religious. He sent it right past the rich. And there out on the hillside sat some old dirty shepherds. But I want to tell you right now that heaven was rent open. Out stepped an angel out on the clouds of glory. He looked out at the these old lonely shepherds. He said, look, I know you don't have much money. I know you don't have much ability. I know you ain't fitting in everybody's eyes. But I want to tell you something. Good news. Lonely old shepherds. I love when the good news hits somebody that hadn't heard it before. I just recall just a few instances Out there in Africa in the Rift Valley. And out there sometimes when they do the preaching and the teaching, you can tell us the first time some of them heard the good news. You're telling me, yeah, I can just picture it in their minds. It's like a light bulb that goes off. I don't have to live in slavery. I don't have to live like this. I don't have to worship a mountain. I don't have to sacrifice my children. It's like good news goes off in their mind. It's like a light switch goes off and they begin all of a sudden, I see them even though I don't know nothing to say them, even though they're not saying it in English, they're speaking Messiah. All of a sudden you see a smile on their face and you realize they just had contact with good news. It's producing great joy and they're excited about what they just heard. Might do some of them come over here and preach to us. Might do us some good. Hear me today, friend. I want to tell you how the shepherds here, lonely, faithful workers, they were going through the same routine of life. They had probably lost all zeal. They were just doing what they did. And the Bible says this, and the shepherds returned. They went and seen the Savior. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. And then it was told unto them. It says, when they went and saw the Savior, after they heard the good news, and after they beheld the good news, this is New Testament talking about shepherds, it said they came back, they were glorified and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. How do you think they did that? Thank you, Lord. We've seen Jesus, don't tell nobody. You know, we saw the Savior, but I don't know if it was Him or not, you know. It says they returned glorifying and praising the God for all the things they had heard to see. Now notice a few verses before it. It says this, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Hear me today, friend. You know what our services should be like? When you hear the good news and you believe the good news, it should cause a sense of wonder. It should cause a sense of pondering. It should cause a sense of worship in your heart. Then it should cause others wonder, why in the world are they so excited? You know what always set the Pentecostal church apart from all the others? Because they glorified God. And the rich ones across the tracks usually looked back at them and said, them old holy rollers. You ever heard that term? I ain't ashamed of it. I know one brother, he said, I don't know if I'm going to put Pentecostal on the sign. He said, I like the idea of a church with a progressive fervor. I thought to myself, you done missed the heart. I ain't a bit ashamed of Pentecost. Not one bit. I love old black back preaching Bibles. I love demon chasing preachers. I love anointed preaching. I love anointed singing. I love anointed everything. I love it anointed. I love it real. I love it rich. I love it pure. The shepherds here heard the good news and it caused great joy. Hear me today, friend. We even hear this old song by Isaac Watts. Joy to the world. You ever heard that song? Hey man, joy to the world. When I looked at the words of that, you know, Isaac Watts wrote that song. He didn't even intend for it to be a Christmas song. It's really just a reading. He looked at Psalms chapter 98. That's where he put the song together from. It wasn't even intended to be a Christmas song. But the song said something like this. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive a king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Isn't that good words here, my friend? Let heaven and earth, hear me today, friend, says the Lord is come. Let the earth receive a king. Let every man prepare him room. Have you made room this Christmas? I believe you did. I'm just asking a question. Have you hollowed out a few areas? Well, you say, God, look, got a big list, but you know what? Move out my way, Christmas cards. Jesus is getting in right here. Keep your Christmas card. You know what I'm saying. You don't want anything to drown out the Lord. Second verse is, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods and rocks and hills and plain repeat the sounding joy. Hear me, friend, it goes on to say, we're not going to read the whole song. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor let thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessing flow, for as the curse is found. That is the good news. Jesus came and He reversed the curse. He reversed the curse. Were you about in sin, now you are free. When you were blind, now you see. When you were lost, now you're found. When you had no ability to help yourself, the Holy Ghost helped you. That's the good news. And it should cause you to have great joy. First thing is to have a special Christmas. I don't care where you're at. I'm going to make sure with the Lord's help this year, I'm going to look at my brothers and I'm going to tell them it's still good news. And not only that, I'm not going to do it like I've been sucking on a lemon all day. I'm going to say, you know what? It's good news. And I'll tell you, God's a good. I've never understood the sour Christian, you know. I've never understood the unpredictable Christian, you know, to come in this Sunday, they're down. And then you come in the next Sunday, they're smiling. And they'll chase you to shake your hand. And the next week, they'll say, you didn't shake mine. I never understood that. It should be in you. But make sure, I don't care where you're at. I don't care where you go. But hear me today, friend. I want you to make sure you're presenting good news and you're presenting great joy. This is the third and final thing I want you to do this Christmas to keep it special. Proclaim the greatness of Jesus Christ. Notice here it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We have a threefold title here. First, He calls Him Savior. It is tied to salvation or deliverer. A Savior has come to save you from your sins, from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin. And one day in heaven, you'll be away from the presence of sin. But not only is He our Savior, but He's also Christ our Lord. Christ emphasizes Jesus' Messiahship and His anointing. Not only that, but He's also Lord. The Lord emphasizes His supreme rulership. But you know, this is the issue. And hear me. Let me have your attention up here. A lot of people like the Savior part. Amen? You know, you get a mulligan in life. Are you serious? I get a do-over? They like the idea of being forgiven, don't they? You could line this. We could fill a church up if that's all you preached. You'd have them wanting to. You'd have to knock walls out and build a new sanctuary because everybody's forgiven and that's all right and that's it. But then he goes on to say, look, not only is He forgiven, but He's the Christ. He's anointed. He has the power to deliver. He has the power to set free. He has the power to change you. He has the power to make your mind up. He has the power to deliver you from this and from that. That is the Savior, the Christ. But everybody falls off the wagon. Not everybody, but many do. When you begin to talk about Him as Lord, as the Messiah, and as Him having to take seat on the throne of your heart and help you make the decisions from now on. How do you get somebody sanctified? You know, I could hit that from 75 theological angles. Is it second? Is it progressive? I'll tell you how. You make the Lord, make Jesus Lord of their life. Amen. If Jesus is Lord of their life, try arguing with the king. He'll tell you to be quiet and this is what you got to do. That's the way it works. The Lord does not take advice from the subject. The subject takes advice from the Lord. The Messiah spoken of by the prophets, the anointed of the Lord with the Holy Ghost without measure, to be a prophet, to be a priest, to be king in His church, who is the true Jehovah, the Lord of our righteousness, the Lord of all creation, the Lord of all creatures, the Lord of angels, good and bad, the Lord of all men, as the Creator and the Prince of kings of the earth, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. This is the good news that He's came here, and get this, He came here for you. Now you hear that? Can you imagine? This is just me. Can you imagine the shepherds there on the hillside? And when the angels say, you know, glad tidings, good joy, a Savior is born to you, He said, you. I just picture maybe one of the shepherds saying, me? Yeah, you. You ever been somewhere where somebody's trying to get somebody out of a congregation or a crowd? And they're pointing and you're like, me? And then you're like, me? And then you're looking around and nobody's within 10 foot of you, but you're still wondering, me? And then you know Uncle Sam will point at you and say, I want you. You know, but eventually you'll say, and eventually somebody will say, yeah, you right there in the blue shirt, right there. Come here. I want to talk to you. Hear me today, friend. When a Savior is born unto you, I'm saying, yeah, right there to you. Right where you're sitting. It doesn't matter if you're in green, blue. It doesn't matter if you're in black, red, white. Oh, I don't care. Hey, tell me. I'm telling you that, friend. A Savior is born unto you. And not only you, but then He says, for all people. Amen.
It's for everybody. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your height. Yes is you. Yes is for all people. This great joy, this great news is for you. And hear me, my friend, as we're coming close to the end of this, with God's help, let's do this one thing. When we're magnifying this third point, proclaiming the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's be sure we outdo the mythologies of the world by showing them that Jesus is 10,000 times better than anything else in this world. You know, Jesus is 10,000 million times better than Santa Claus. I'm not against that, but what I'm saying is this. Whatever you do, make sure, Santa, you can do Frosty, whatever it is in your life. You know, presents, gifts, food, family. You can put it all in the same pot. You can boil it down. And Jesus is still 10,000 times greater than all of that. Let's make sure Him is a friend. Let's make sure we don't try to substitute anything in His totality where Jesus belongs. Jesus is the greatest. Every time you see a Christmas light, thank Jesus. Every time you buy something for a family member, thank Jesus. That's what we've got to proclaim. And not only this, hear me. Jesus is more generous than all of it. You know, in our society, and I'm not against it. Like I said, I'm not against Santa Claus. I don't know much about him. Never met him. Actually, I have. But Jesus is more generous than him. We've got to make sure there is no substitute. You understand what I'm saying? You've got to make sure there is no substitute. Whatever it is, make sure at the very peak of it, at the very top of it, Jesus Christ is the pinnacle. He is at the very top. Make sure you read the Christmas story. Whatever it is, put forth the effort to lift Him up among this world and that He is the greatest. As my wife comes to the piano this morning. Now when we think about this, I'm about to close here. But I want to make sure we're understanding how do we make Christmas special, number one. Make sure you're proclaiming the good news. Number two, carve out regular times or whatever it is. Keep it cultivated. Your great joy. Keep it there. And not only that, outdo everything. Make sure Jesus Christ is the pinnacle. Make sure He outshines everything. Even though there's so much we do and I enjoy all of it, I've got to make sure at the very center of it and at the very top of it, Jesus Christ is being lifted up. We've got to meditate on this, my friends, because, like I've said already, to keep Christmas special, Christ has got to be at the top. As you stand to your feet, I do appreciate you enduring me this long, allowing us to preach. One more time, I just want to get this in your mind. Can we do it one more time? Good news, great joy. Let's say it together. Let's say it a few times. Good news is great joy. One more time. Good news is great joy.